Hanover Square Press and Harper Audio present How We Disappeared, a novel by Jingjing Li, performed by Angela Lin and Ryan Yu. Part 1. 忘地. She began in the first month of the lunar year. They said she was born at night, the worst time to arrive. Used up all the oil in the lamp, so that her father had to go next door for candles. It took hours, and it was only after muddying up swathes of moth-eaten sheets the neighbors had given in the last few weeks of her mother's pregnancy that she emerged. As her first wails cracked through the hot air in the Atap hut, he went into the bedroom to look at her, a worm of a thing freshly pulled out of the earth. When he saw the gap between the baby's legs, the first time father spat, then slumped in a chair at the kitchen table, eyeing his wife as she nursed, already thinking about the next child. That is one story. Or, she began when her mother found her in a rubbish skip. She was walking to the market with four eggs her hens laid that morning, was passing by the public bins when it started to whimper. The woman looked in, and there it was. A child, scraps of leftover dinner on top of it. She took the baby home and brushed the dirt off her face. Waited for a week to see if anyone would come and claim her. They kept her when no one did. The third and last story, told to the child by her aunt, was that she was born and her father took her to the pond, the one where water spinach grew. Villagers went to collect it in armfuls when they could afford nothing else for dinner, and it was by this vegetable, completely hollow in the middle of their stems so as to warrant the name Kongxin, empty heart, that her father put her. The aunt told this story each time she went to visit, and each time, as she got to this point in the story of her niece's birth, she would stop, smack her lips, and lean in close, adding that her father had tried to push her under with the tip of his sandaled feet. She explained that it wasn't easy, what he was doing, because the water was shallow and the weeds were holding her up. "You were bobbing in and out of the water," she said, "and the whole business was almost finished with when you stopped crying from the feeling of damp on your body and simply looked at him. Your eyes opened up a crack and you just stared into his face." The aunt couldn't say why, but it made the new father take the child back home again. He put the bundle on the table like a packet of biscuits and told his wife that she could keep her if she gave birth to a baby boy next year. They didn't bother naming the girl for a few weeks, but when they did, they named her Wangdi, to hope for a brother. This morning, as with most mornings these days, Wangdi woke to the ghost of a voice not unlike her aunt's, calling out her name. As she lay in bed, she remembered how her aunt once asked if Wangdi wanted to live with her. She could adopt her and take her away, since her parents thought so little of girl children. She wouldn't be like them, she told her, casting an eye at Wangdi's father, but would make sure she went to school, got two sets of uniforms and books, an education. "What do you think, Wangdi?" She'd smiled a hopeful, shuddering smile. Each time she remembered this, Wangdi wondered how her life would have been different had she said yes. In her mind, her parents would have said go, good riddance, if she had gone to live with her aunt on the other end of Singapore, 10 miles south in Chinatown, with its narrow alleys and smoky shophouses.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?